This morning we're in Esther and chapter 2, a passage that we read earlier. Now, as we began to look at this little book of Esther, we remarked last week, it's one of only two books in the Bible named after a lady. And what's rather unique about the book of Esther, which people often remark on, is that there's no mention explicitly of the name of God in the whole book. But as we saw last week, God permeates the whole book. He underlines, isn't he, all that is taking place. It's a book that lays before us that God is a God of providence, a God who overrules, a God working out his purposes, a sovereign and a mighty God. And we saw something of what takes place. We know the story. We're all very familiar with it, that here was a critical time, the time of the Jewish people, where there was those who wanted to exterminate them. And, of course, we were reminded last week that God had made his promise right the way back from Genesis that he would one day bring in that Saviour, one we rejoice, whose arrival we'll be thinking of shortly at Christmas, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as that plan was unfolded through the Old Testament, God revealed further of his promises. It was of the line of Abraham, and then subsequently from David's household. And of course, if any of these things had taken place, such as this extermination of all the Jewish people, God's promises would have failed. They would have been thwarted. God in his mighty sovereign control can never be thwarted in his purposes, and he brings to pass all that his purpose. And the book of Esther sets something before that, before us, of God's mighty control, even over the wicked purposes that take place in this world. And there are many incidences of that in the scriptures. As we come to chapter 2, we're going to take something a little bit further regarding God's dealings in his providential ruling and overruling. Because here we are introduced to Esther herself, after whom the book, of course, is named. So Esther and Mordecai. We mustn't forget Mordecai. These two individuals here. And we find the Lord now working through individuals, through his people. We see the big picture, God overruling what kings and nations and empires seek to do. But God works through individuals, his people. And you and me, if we're those who know and love the Lord and we belong to him, we have this tremendous privilege of being used by the Lord to fulfill his purposes. We thought a little bit about that earlier on in our prayer when we were thinking about how the Lord uses us in the proclamation of the gospel, witnessing and testimony. The Lord could have saved his people, his church, in so many other ways in his sovereign might, but he purposes to use his people individually. And we see something of that unfolded here, because here, in this incident that's taking place, here are Esther and Mordecai, two individual, we can think of them as believers, godly people we believe here, servants of the Lord, and he uses them in this furtherance of his great work here that he's dealing with here. And so my theme this morning is simply this: vessels fit for the master's use. And so, if you're familiar with that verse, you might find that what I'm referring to, and so our verse, if you like, is actually found in the New Testament. So 2 Timothy and chapter 2, our thoughts are on, we're looking at Esther 2, but just as the title for this morning, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21, we find that here was the apostle writing to Timothy, and he talks about how we're to be a people, we're to be vessels fit for the master's use. He says, he's speaking about how if a man purge himself from these, he says he should be a vessel unto honour, sanctified, set apart, holy, a vessel on to honour, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So our theme this morning is vessels meet for the master's use. Esther and Mordecai, which we'll look at, as vessels meet for the master's use. A challenge to us this morning: are we vessels meet for the master's use?